So Lord, we're here this morning to celebrate the gift of your Spirit. The gift of your Spirit, not just as a Jedi superpower, but the gift of your Spirit as part of your character revealed to us, Lord. That it would be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit, we say we make room for you this morning to move in our hearts and move in our minds. To move in this place, we recognize you're already here with us. That you deemed us worthy enough to dwell within us. Not because of anything we had done, not because of anything we had learned, not because of anything we had said, but by the simple gift that you said we were worthy enough to dwell within us. And so we acknowledge you in our lives this morning. And Holy Spirit, we ask you that you would be that advocate, that comforter for those that are in Texas today. For the families that lost children, for the families that have injured ones, and to all those that were a part of this terrible traumatic situation, Holy Spirit, we ask that your comforting power would be upon them this day. As the media moves on to different things, as help moves on to different situations occurring in the nation, and as the weight of what has happened, the loss, the grieving, the mourning starts to occur, that your Spirit would be upon that town. Your Spirit would move in the hearts of people. We pray for the pastors to have the right words to say to comfort the people, that those words would come from you, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort them in this tragic situation. And so we celebrate you, Holy Spirit. We celebrate that you came thousands of years ago to move in our lives and to move our lives into the streets to talk about your Son. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. One of the great things I love about our church here is we put a lot of energy and effort into our children. And I think that's our response to situations like in Texas, is that we do our best with people here and people here's friends of their kids to give them opportunity to grow in truth and to grow in knowledge of God. And that would give them the opportunity as they get older to make good decisions and be people of influence. And so we have an amazing opportunity coming up called Indian Village for our young kids to get away, obviously give some of you parents a little bit of a break. But more than that, to get away to learn about God, in a language and with illustration that they could grasp. And so Indian Village is happening here coming up. We'd encourage you to sign your kids up for that. Now, we do have a lot of parents that would love the opportunity to send their kids, single moms or people that have some needs right now that maybe don't have the full capacity to send their children, and we want them to get the opportunity to. So if your kids have gone to Indian Village in the past, I'd encourage you to go to the front office and ask if there's any way you can help get those other kids there as well. This is our way of sowing into the next generation of leaders of our nation, of our city, neighborhoods, the workplace. And as we all know, it's the things that we learned when we were kids that so impacted us and that shaped us. For many of you, you might not remember the times you sat in a sermon, but you might remember an activity that happened at Sunday school or a song that you learned. And that stuck with you your whole life. And as children, that's when we learn those things. And we want to make opportunities like that, specifically with this opportunity of Indian Village. So please, if you have kids, check out the opportunity. And if your kids have gone through it, check out a way that you might be able to help out. This morning, we're celebrating Pentecost, which was a day which the Spirit of God came and dwelt within us and dwelt on the earth among us. And it was a new power to become a new creation, a part of a new family. That's what this Spirit was. It was something that Jesus had talked about, that people had experienced, and he had shown the power of the Spirit and said, when I go home to be with the Father, he basically said, I have to go home to be with the Father so you can receive this Spirit. That it needed that Jesus would leave, that his Spirit would come. Now, what we know is that these young men, these 12 disciples, and eventually their friends, as chapter 1 of Acts tells us, that there was 120 gathered together, were waiting for the promise of this Spirit to come. Now, this happened 2,000 years ago, thousands of miles away, on the other side of the earth, in a completely different language, and in a completely different culture. And these young Jewish guys were in Jerusalem, which would have been their center city, most likely very close to the temple. And they were there because they were gathered for a time of festival during their Jewish culture. This time was called Pentecost, or the Festival of Weeks. It was meant to happen 7 weeks after Passover. And we know what had happened at Passover 7 weeks earlier, that Jesus would sit with his disciples, explain to them that he was going to die and go to the Father. And we celebrate that on Maundy Thursday. Well, 7 weeks later, 7 weeks, Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, using a Greek term, is a gathering where they came to celebrate then the first fruits of receiving of the harvest and celebrate the receiving of the law of Moses. It was a tradition. And Jews would have come from all over the known world to Jerusalem to celebrate this festival. Now, what had happened at that festival was a normal thing. It's normal. Offerings were being made. The normal celebrations were happening. But these 120 were gathered in fear in some respects, wondering if they should even be out in public, knowing that Jesus had been crucified, had risen again, but not sure what they should do next. So they were just waiting in this room. So Jews from all over the world were gathering together to celebrate this festival, and all of a sudden in this room, the sound comes in. This fire like tongues of fire come, and the Spirit of God rests upon them. Now we have to know something, that this idea of the Spirit of God was a part of every young Jewish boy would have learned the stories of the Spirit of God for millennia, dating all the way back to the time of Moses. That the Spirit of God would often show up, even in the Old Testament texts, as the Spirit of God doing specific things in people's lives. One particular story is in Numbers chapter 11, starting in verse 24, and I'll have it up on the screen. You can follow with me. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him, which is Moses, and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp where they listened, They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." Now it's interesting because they're seeing the Spirit of God descend on other people. Now the Spirit of God had been on Moses. It gave him a new power to have a capacity to lead the people of Israel. It turned a stuttering man to an eloquent person who could speak and lead upwards of almost a million people out of Egypt and moving towards the promised land. The Spirit of God enabled Moses to step into a level of leadership that everyone knew that the Spirit of God was on this man Moses. But God decides to show that the Spirit wasn't just on Moses, he was going to spread it out amongst the 70. Well, Joshua and others respond, stop them, because they're thinking this is going to get out of control. What if people think they're the leaders? What if people think they're just as important as you are? And so he says, you need to stop them. Stop the Spirit from moving on these other people. And this is what Moses says. But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." So even Moses, who actually these Jews now, thousands of years later, are celebrating in Jerusalem when he received the law, thousands of years before that, Moses is experiencing the Spirit of God, seeing what it's doing for him, saying, "This is amazing. I wish that all people would get the chance to experience this Spirit, to experience this power." And so these young men are gathered together in Acts chapter 2. And they're sitting there, and the Spirit of God comes in, starting in verse 1, which we've read already, but I'll read it again to remind us. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They had too much wine." So we see the Spirit of God descend. We see the opposite of the Tower of Babel, where Babel was many different languages and one language and everyone having unity and spreading apart and dividing them in all different languages. But in this situation, we see all of a sudden all these different languages are celebrated and everyone's getting a chance to learn who this God is in their mother tongue, in their heart language. God, the Spirit of God, is enabling them to communicate who God was. And this is interesting because God likes to use what's already there and to show his Spirit in power with all what's already there. Flashback in the Old Testament again, a man named Samson. It's one of my favorite judges. Samson, when talked about in the book of Judges, is never talked about having been taller than any other man and has never talked about having larger muscles than any other man. Which is interesting because when the Spirit of God came on Samson as a judge, he was able to do supernatural, superhuman feats. Why it was so astonishing to people was because it wasn't expected. He wasn't a CrossFit master yet. Okay, he had not had his fifth black belt in Aikido. Like Aikido, that wasn't it. He didn't have those things. So it was amazing to them that God took the physical stature of an average man and enabled him to do superhuman things. How did it happen? It happened by his Spirit. And here we see the same thing with tongues, that these average people from Galilee would be speaking foreign languages, describing the wonders of God. Now again, Jews would have been gathering from all over at this time, coming together in a very strategic time to begin to hear about the Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus had only died and resurrected a few weeks earlier to this moment. They didn't have a chance to tweet it or Facebook it yet. It hadn't gotten out there. So these Jews would have come in having not fully heard what had happened or maybe heard a rumor. They're gathered for this festival of weeks, and all of a sudden this experience begins to unfold for them. And the people, the 120, would have been astonished to see that this Spirit of God was falling on them. That the promise of Jesus was actually being fulfilled. That they were receiving this new power. This would have been tremendously disruptive. If you could think about information years ago, when we had this thing called libraries and bookstores, pre-internet. And that was the place that we would get information. We would have to leave our homes to go to a place to either get books or hear someone talking. And in that moment, we would get the information that we needed. When the internet came, it disrupted that idea of how we got information. That now, on the weekends, when I give my child my phone, because that's when she gets it to blaze through YouTube Kids, she'll go through and watch these videos. Now, the worst part is when my daughter is on my phone watching YouTube Kids and the internet goes out in the house for some reason. And she has an emotional meltdown because she was just about to learn the final step to making glittery slime. Now, I had to tell her, honey, it's okay. The internet will come back on. Why isn't it on? Someone fix it. Someone pay the bill. And I'm like, no, honey, it's just an interception. And I have to tell her, there was a day when I had to convince my mom to take me to the library, use this thing called the Dewey Decimal System, and hopefully in that library, I could find a book that taught me how to make slime. You can surely wait for 60 seconds for me to restart the router. The internet came and it disrupted everything. It gave everyone the power of information in the palm of their hands. Now a young child in Uganda can have the same information that elite people in Silicon Valley can have. It's changed. We haven't even seen the beginning of what's happened in the disruption of receiving that information. And in the same way, on Pentecost, that's exactly what happened. Because the Spirit that was available to few, used for specific purposes of God in leadership or in some form of caring or as prophets or as judges or as kings. In a few that received the Spirit of God, now at Pentecost, guess what's happening? Everyone's getting the Spirit of God. Everyone has the access to this new power. Everyone gets this. Everyone gets it. And the Jews were so astonished that they're thinking, this is available to all of us right now. This new power for what? I believe the next part of Acts 2 shows us it's a new power to become the new creation. Now, this next part of Acts, we're going to see Peter stand up, and we're going to see a very different Peter than we've seen oftentimes mentioned in the Gospels. As we know, Peter first was named Simon. He was a bit rough around the edges. He didn't like the things Jesus always had to say. He liked to question Jesus at times. And at times when things were going sour, he was the one carrying a sword to attack those around him. Not only that, Peter was one, let's say Simon was one, that also was the one that denied Christ three times. But what do we see happen in the Gospels? Despite Jesus knowing what Simon was going to do, there's a point in the Gospels where Jesus changes Simon's name. He changes it to Peter. Now, why does he do that? Because Jesus understands that before the earth was created, he and his Father and their spirit together knew that Simon was going to exist, but they had a heart that Simon would actually live as Peter, his identity that came out of relationship with the Father. Now, what are you saying, Matt? Well, I believe that before creation was even began, that every one of us were known in the heart of God, and every one of us had a specific identity, a calling that we were meant to live out. But as we know, sin came in and our relationship was broken with God, and we didn't get to find out what that identity was. And so we came to live from our flesh and live from what people around us told us we should be or what we needed to be. Well, Jesus comes, gives his life, is redeemed and restored, and now redeems and restores us. What is he restoring us to? He's saying, listen, my Father and I in relationship with you, we know who you're meant to be. And if you look at Jesus in his ministry, he's looking at people saying, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to give you your legs. I'm going to remove those evil spirits. Why? Because he's looking at them and saying, that's not who you're meant to be. And so Peter, Simon, he says, I'm changing your name to Peter because this is who you're meant to be as a new creation. Well, Peter hasn't had the capacity to walk that out yet. His name's been changed, but he pulls out the sword. His name's been changed, but he denies Christ. His name's been changed, but he goes back and goes fishing again. But then all of a sudden in Acts chapter 2, we see the first time the new creation of Simon walking as Peter, empowered by the Spirit of God. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 14. And sly people, I'm going to cut this up because when I tried to read it last night, it went way too long. So you'll see when I stop and skip. Well, actually, you won't. There's no one up there. I'm just talking to them. Chapter 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old will dream dreams. Even on the servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fires and billow of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter comes out in full new power of the Spirit to become that new creation and declares truth to the people of Israel. This is the guy who only 7 weeks later was denying that he even knew Christ to a little child. And now he's standing in the worst place possible. He's basically saying, you killed the Christ. I guess you should come kill me because I'm going to carry his message to the masses. What changes in a man to be able to do that other than the fact that he's received a new power to become a new creation? Well, people respond to that, as we know, picking back up in verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from the corrupt generations. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. The Holy Spirit is a new power to become a new creation. Now, that new creation is new to us, but it's actually not new to our Father. because the Father and the Son and the Spirit have always known what they want us to become, but now they've given us the power to walk that out, that we wouldn't try to change our lives from our human spirit, but we would change our lives from the Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't work towards making changes in our lives from our human power, but we'd work towards changing our lives from this new power. That the Spirit of God would be released on all men, that this new power would give us the ability to be a new creation. I can remember a time that I was in the country Mexico. I was in my early 20s. At that time, I was working in a missions organization. I had a lot of opportunities to lead people. In that process, I was trying to figure out my own calling and where I was supposed to walk that out. I got invited to speak at this large event. It was about 600 people representing about 50 different nations, all of them people that had given their lives to be missionaries all over the world. And I was invited to come share, and I thought, what do I have to share with these people? So I'm getting ready to get up and share, and I feel this really simple word that God's given me. And I get up, and I'm like shaking in my boots because I'm thinking, these are my heroes, 600 people from 50 different countries all over the world gathered by this lake in Mexico City, and I'm supposed to say something to them. So I share this word, and I get off the stage as fast as possible because I'm like, get that out and get done and walk out. And I booked my ticket so I would leave almost immediately after speaking because I thought, then I can't get any bad feedback. This is perfect. So I get up and I share the thing and I come down and I'm sitting outside. And as I'm sitting there, the leader of our whole organization. She was one of the ones that organized this conference. She gets up and she's starting to process with them what I had shared. And I'm not really listening. I'm kind of sitting outside the back, looking at my watch, waiting for my time to go. We didn't have a cool creative green room. You just sat outside. As I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, I feel the presence of something heavy on my shoulders, and I'm telling you, this is the most weirdest thing ever. I start getting super emotional. Now, I'm leaving. I'm about ready to leave for an airplane. I'm in full logistic mode of having to pack and having to move, and in that moment, I start sensing something around us, and I start crying, and guess what? I start shaking. So I'm out back. I'm by myself in the sun, crying and shaking, and I don't know what's going on inside the gathering. I have a friend at that time who was very Pentecostal and charismatic, and I admired him for it because he was such a weirdo, and I could never get myself to be that weird. And he comes down, he had all his long hair. He thought he was the prophet Moses. Like, he was just like, whoa, you know, he'd come out. So he comes down, he goes, Matt, what are you doing? There's just people in there crying and shaking. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah. And he comes down, he goes, what's the matter with you? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm crying and shaking. He goes, you need to go in there and say something to them. I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm just crying and shaking. I need to go to the airport. He picks me up, puts me over his shoulder, walks me on stage, and in all his brilliance, he brings me up on stage and goes, tells everyone, we need to pray for Matt right now. And you know what he does? He makes everyone come up, and he picks me up and throws me on top of the crowd. So I'm crowd surfing, shaking and crying. And all I can hear is people from the different nations of the earth praying for me. African tongues, Spanish tongues, Asian tongues, just praying for me. People saying, Matt, you're welcome in our nation. You're welcome in our nation. You're welcome in our nation. And they carry me and praying for me to the middle, drop me on the floor, and they start praying for me. People start falling on top of me. It was absolutely crazy. They pulled me out because I was going to be late for my flight. I cried all the way to the airport, and I cried my entire flight home because I realized in that moment that I had a calling on my life to be involved in the nations. That was part of my new creation. It was a new power to become a new creation. But here's the thing. It wasn't just about being some kind of big situation like that. That's not how it happens for all of us, because what I'm really concerned with becoming a new creation is I want to learn how to be a better father. And it's leading into the Spirit of God and his new power to have wisdom in times of discipling my kids, because that's what I've realized is the most important. And we have a new power to do that. Even if we came from difficult families or broken families, we have the capacity to become new parents to our children because of the Spirit of God working through us. It's a new power to become a new creation, a part of a new family. If we continue on, we see what happens with the gathering of people, the 3,000 that had believed. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe as many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord did this. The Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. See, as the new power comes, it gives us the ability to become a new creation, now a part of a new family. That this was the birth of the church. This was the birth of a new family, as Romans says, that we are all now sons of God, that we are sons and daughters of the King, as John talks about, where Jesus says, they will know you by your love for one another. What is he talking about? He's saying this new family that comes together in believing in Christ, sharing of things. Now, again, we don't have to do exactly what they did in their setting, but the principle's the same. We gather for teaching. We gather for worship. We take care of one another, and as we love each other, support each other as the church, showing that into the world, God will add to our number. Because he says, this is my family. This is what I've started. Romans also says that all creation cries out for the sons of God to be revealed. That creation, the assumption is not that people don't want to see our new family. The assumption should be that creation cries out to see a new family. And we're that family. That's why the church is important. That's why the church will never go away. The church started with 12 disciples and then moved to 120. Quickly, in Acts chapter 2, it moved to 3,000. Only 100 years later, they estimated that it was about 600,000 believers in a known world. In 1910, they said there was approximately 600 million followers of Jesus in the world. And today, there's over 2 billion people in the family of God in the world around us. How does that happen? A new power to become a new creation, a part of a new family. This is what he's done. This is what we celebrate today in Pentecost, taking from a Jewish festival that was a gathering with the Spirit of God coming, now becoming a tradition in this new family. The Holy Spirit oftentimes is thought of as a superpower that we use here and there, or it's often thought of as something we just sing about oftenly, not frequently, something we sing about not very often, but we don't give it enough attention. When in reality, the Holy Spirit is actually a part of the character of God. It's one of the Godheads. That in that Godhead, three in one, Jesus coming down, picking the 12, sending the 70 two by two, calling us now this new family, that in our familyness, we are meant to celebrate both Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we want to do something a little bit different. Because we believe that this new power to become a new creation and to be a part of a new family is present in our midst and wants to be stirred in every single one of us. And Craig is going to come and he's going to share a little bit more about that, and particularly a bit of passion and heart piece in regards to what it means to have the Spirit of God in our lives.
You know, as we talked about this weekend, looking through scripture and planning out the songs and everything that we would sing, we knew that God really wanted to do something in our midst in this community. Realizing, yes, this happened several thousands of years ago, but this is God's desire, is for us to understand that presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I first accepted Christ, and there's a scripture, there's a verse in the text that says that the apostles came to him and said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And he said, we've never even heard about the Holy Spirit. So they prayed for him. They received the Holy Spirit. And I know that in Scripture, there are several places where there's outpourings of the Holy Spirit, special anointings, empowerings. And I feel like what God wants to do in our community is for us to understand what Matt has just declared in Scripture, that there is a presence of the Holy Spirit that wants to not only live in us, but come out of us with power and strength. Not the kind of power and strength to be physically strong, as we saw in Samson, but to break the chains in people's lives when we speak to them, to speak hope and to speak peace and grace in their lives. And when we come in contact with a family member or a work member that is going through difficult times, we realize that that same spirit that was in Peter that spoke to the and allowed thousands of people to give their lives to Christ is in us. So what we're going to do is their leadership's going to be up here on the front sides of the stage as we continue to worship. And I just want to, if you would like to receive that anointing of the Holy Spirit, maybe you've been walking with Christ for some time, maybe today is the first time you've really heard that, wow, there is this presence of the Holy Spirit, a person who can live inside of me, to speak to me, to direct me, to empower me, to help with those conversations. Because when we have the critical conversations with people, it's not our own words that change them. It's the presence, it's the words of the Holy Spirit speaking through us. Maybe you just received Christ a couple days ago, and you're one to say, I hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit when I first believed in Christ. We'd like to pray for you. So while we continue to worship, I just want you to freely come up to the front sides, and we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. I know that God will answer these prayers, because when I first accepted Christ, like I was saying, I hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. I went back to work. I was working at Bonds Market, and I was sharing the excitement I had for the relationship that I just found out about Christ. And it went on for 6 weeks. Nothing really changed in the store that I was working at. Then I went to church that Thursday night, and they said they were going to pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, this is the first I've ever heard about it, but I'm in. So they prayed for me, and it was a powerful prayer. I could sense that. I went back to work, and I said the same stuff I had always been saying for those 6 weeks. And all of a sudden, people were being saved. It was like nothing I was doing different. Lives were being changed. And then I found that the people in my store were radically being converted to Christ. And then they were being shipped out by the company to other stores. Then I started getting reports back from the other stores that people were giving their life over to Christ. We saw an incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Vaughn's Market. I'll give them a plug. But it was incredible what God was doing from just that time I received prayer. So I want to encourage you, if you feel even a sense of dryness in your life, been walking with Christ, and you just feel like, wow, it's gotten dull, come forward, receive prayer.